7 past the hour. Hey, Truth Seekers, it is Friday. My God, for a moment there, I forgot where I was. welcome to Friday. Welcome to the Molloy Show. I'm glad you could make it. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight, so I hope you're going to stick around for a little while, you know, as much as you can handle. This is a very depressing program. I've been thinking that what we ought to do is change the format to, get most of our stories from TMZ and just do a lot of, a lot of Hollywood stuff. You know, a lot of, lighter stuff instead of this insanity that we do here every night. What do you think? You want to do that? No? Okay. Don't send me an email. That's right. I have some Prairie 2 here I'd like to get to. Plus, this is Friday night, so we'll be giving away a one-year subscription to the Molloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free. That'll be probably at the bottom of the next hour. And before we go any further, this hour is being sponsored by Clark Morgan. And his message, the Mike Molloy Show, there's nothing else like it on the radio. Thank you, Mike and Kathy. Very kind. Thanks, Clark. Appreciate the sponsorship. That's true. There is nothing else like it on the radio. And for most people, that's good. Kent State. Yeah. Kent State, 42 years ago. Hard to believe. Dennis Kucinich had a little piece posted at Op-Ed News and Truth Dig today. Dennis wrote, 42 years ago on May 4th, 1970, members of the Ohio National Guard opened fire on a crowd of unarmed students at Kent State University, firing between 61 and 67 shots over a period of 13 seconds, killing 4 students and injuring 9 others. The shootings at Kent State symbolized the deep divide that existed in America during the Vietnam War era, and played a significant role in shaping the way a generation interacted with its government. The only known audio recording of those events was made by Terry Stroob, who placed a microphone out of his window and recorded 29 minutes of audio. At least 2 copies of the Stroob tape were made, with one ending up in Yale University's Kent State collection in 1989. In 2010, the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper engaged forensic audio engineers to examine a copy of the Yale recordings made by Alan Canfora, one of the 13 victims of the Kent State shootings. That analysis made a stunning finding. Shots were fired before the National Guard opened fire. That evidence could be significant because it could connect an FBI paid informant who was on campus that day and who possessed a gun that might have been the one caught by Stroob's microphone. In 2010, as chairman of the Domestic Policy Subcommittee of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, I opened an inquiry into this evidence. I requested that Yale University make another copy of the Stroob tape to ensure its authenticity, and sent a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder requesting that the Department of Justice undertake a forensic analysis of this authenticated recording. The Department of Justice obliged my request, and more than a year later, I received a reply. The Department of Justice concluded that the tape was unintelligible, but that the sounds preceding the fire from the guardsmen were likely to be the sound of Stroob's dorm room opening and closing. I guess that would be a dorm room door opening and closing. Despite the detailed response from the Justice Department, significant questions remain. There was no attempt to reconcile major discrepancies in conclusions among expert analysts. The role of Terry Norman, the FBI informant on campus that day, was not discussed. In order to lay these questions to rest, I wrote to the Justice Department requesting the full analysis used to reach their conclusions. The Kent State shootings remain a significant event in American history. Nothing less than a full investigation is warranted. No word as to whether or not he received the information that he wanted. Kent State. How many days later were the shootings at Jackson State, in Jackson, Mississippi? Was it Jackson State? Forty-two years ago. Wow. Oh, well. Got an email from Bob Alexander this afternoon. He saw something at Op-Ed News and forwarded it on to me. He writes, so before I clean the bird's cage, I have to type this out. A couple of days ago, 30,000 people showed up in New York for the May Day Occupy demonstration. Mainstream media reported on the event by lying about it. Here's a sampling. Reuters called it a dud. The Associated Press, Washington Post, New York Daily News called it hundreds showed up. New York Post called it a joke. That's the Rupert Murdoch terror print organ. CNN said it fizzled. And mainstream media reported, quote, Rupert Murdoch, the head cheese of the New York Post, Wall Street Journal, and Fox News, was declared not fit to manage the News Corporation media empire after a year-long inquiry by Parliament. The news barely made a ripple in the U.S. media matrix. All I can say is, Bob writes, once again, they won, we lost. The majority of Americans get their news from institutions that lie outright about what is going on, or lie by omission about what is going on. Thus, the majority of Americans, not through any fault of their own, are kept ignorant of the psychopathic corporatocracy. This imposed ignorance allows the elite to spin Americans like a top and play them for chumps. So I was thinking, if 30,000 people showed up in downtown Seattle and flipped pancakes, it would make nationwide headline news. Can you see it? 30,000 people converge on downtown Seattle and flip pancakes. Woohoo! If back in the day, after a year-long investigation, the United States Congress concluded that William S. Paley was unfit to run CBS, it would trigger a who-knows-how-long media firestorm. But life under the dome of corporatocracy is a bizarre world of craziness, consumerism, and brutality. It will all unwind someday. All unsustainable systems eventually stop. Chris Hedges sees the great unwinding going like this. Quote, mounting repression, increased human suffering, a collapse of infrastructure, and finally collective death, end quote. Can't improve on that prognosis one little bit. In other news, who gives a goddamn?
soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Yeah, 30,000 people the other day. That was the one of the New York Times estimates. New York Times estimate, 30,000 people in Manhattan on May Day. excuse me. The article Op-Ed News points out that the exact crowd size is hard to gauge from the street because events were ongoing from morning till night, dozens of locations, people constantly coming and going, and police controlling crowd density and flow to prevent traffic shutdowns or overcrowding. But the photographs taken from Broadway and Canal, the streets were packed in both directions as far as the eye could see by about 6:30 p.m. And as Op-Ed News points out, the media, corporate media, didn't see it that way. CBS video feeds showed only the so-called tip of the iceberg in some crowd shots. Even the New York Times website deemed the story unworthy of the front page, even though the Times said 30,000. People showed, just like Bob Alexander said, if 30,000 people showed up in Midtown Manhattan and started flipping pancakes, the New York Times would be all over it. But, I mean, figure that out, huh? And as Gustav Wynn, writing at Op-Ed News, says, the opinion writers have every right to denounce the movement, its tactics, or its aims, but the news division of a newspaper or broadcast has a responsibility to present the most basic facts, and they did not. Of course, I might add, they never do. In corporate media, the chain of command is clear. There are many reporters, editors, researchers, and photographers, but the bosses end up telling the story from the top down. And employees are commonly gagged by non-disclosure agreements from revealing the story behind the fairy tales that go to press. Oh, God, do I remember that, even working at CNN. That is so true. And as Wynn writes, this is, of course, the same day Rupert Murdoch, the head cheese of the New York Post, Wall Street Journal, Fox News, was declared not fit to manage News Corp. Media empire. And that brings us right back to the main contention behind Occupy Wall Street. Every day, wealth is used to gain unfair advantages in debating social or political issues, preventing the public from making informed decisions. Murdoch is chief among today's biggest propagandists, as Fox remains the biggest player in so-called news in the United States. But Murdoch and his son James led News Corp as a massive phone hacking and bribery operation that involved indefensible cover-ups and influence peddling at the highest levels. The lack of serious coverage by corporate news of News Corp's scandal exemplifies media as usual, continuing to distort, deny, or scrub the most basic facts affecting everyday people. Yeah, the sooner News Corp is destroyed in a courtroom, just utterly and totally destroyed with lawsuits, whether they're civil or criminal, the better this country will be. I hope it happens soon. I have a report from Prairie, too, that I'll share with you after the bottom of the hour. But he sent this in the other night, last night, I think. Talking about Obama, and as usual. He writes, Obama could be remembered as a hero for one thing, but Americans are too stupid to grasp what he did. Prairie, too, writes, if Obama had let our one remaining major industry be destroyed, that would be Detroit, as Romney advocated, we would now be living in a dystopian age. Obama didn't save General Motors. He saved their suppliers. General Motors' failure would have destroyed all the parts suppliers and, in turn, all other North American car production. Toyota's American chief was so blunt as to say they would shut down and leave the continent if these suppliers were bankrupted. We would have been living in a post-industrial America. This is one of those turning points that define history, but nobody appreciates it. Oh, Bruce has a point, doesn't he? I mean, it's hard to deny that. There are things about the Obama administration that are sickening, but his saving, quote, Detroit, end quote, is not one of them. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Seekers, Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
Yeah, back to Mike Malloy, 25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Clark Morgan. Thank you, Clark. His message, the Mike Malloy Show, there's nothing else like it on the radio. Thank you, Mike and Kathy. Thank you, Clark, very much. Irish Dave sent me an email here, or sent me a little piece from Wonkette.com. Kirsten Johnson wrote this. 200,000 people in Michigan are unhappy about a state law that allows Republican Governor Rick Snyder to declare martial financial law in struggling municipalities. And when he does that, he gets to bypass local governments by installing emergency financial managers who are allowed to void the official status of public unions, sell off public assets, declare dead cat carcasses legal tender if they want to, whatever they want, as long as all the budget savings are immediately passed on in the form of corporate tax cuts. So, guess what happened? The unhappy citizens all signed petitions to force the state to hold a public referendum on the law. And then promptly, after they got all these signatures, they submitted them. 203,238 signatures. What do you think of that? That's kind of direct democracy, isn't it? Oops, wait a second. Report, I think, of the Detroit News, quote, Republicans cited the wrong font size on the title of the petitions circulated for this public initiative to be called Stand Up for Democracy. That's the reason for not approving the initiative for the ballot. Opponents gathered 203,238 signatures, roughly 40,000 more than needed to get a repeal question on the ballot. And these filthy goddamn Republicans said, no, you used the wrong font size on the title of the petition, so they're null and void. Wow. This vote by the Board of State Canvassers means that, for now, the question won't appear on the general election ballot. But supporters, the people that went out and got these signatures, said they challenged the decision before the Court of Appeals to try to force the question on the ballot. Now, the printer who put all these petitions together in the proper form says that the petitions met the state requirement, that the font size on the petition headlines are supposed to be 14 points. So the Republicans are using their own standard from outer space, as usual. The wrong font size? I hope Bob Alexander's not listening from his safe house up in Vancouver, because if he did hear this, he just fell over.
Thud.
The wrong font size on the title of the position, of the petition. The title. This is a petition. Oops. Supposed to be 14 point, or supposed to be 18 points, 60, whatever the Republicans said. You know, they didn't say, well, these appear to be fraudulent. Or no, they're coffee stains all over the pages. No, we can't read them. Illegible. No, they didn't do any of that. They said the font size was too small. These sons of bitches. Boy, when the barricades go up, oh, man! Do I know what I'm gonna do? Oh, jeez. What? Phone's ringing? Who is it? Hell? Oh, they're calling us tonight? About who? Really? Him again? No. Now, tell old Scratch I'll call later. Okay? Thank you, Kathy. From Bruce Enberg. Blue good, red bad. The number of new jobs created in April totaled only 118,000, which is down from the previous month. But the February and March numbers were revised up by 19,000 and 34,000, respectively. The good news is that we are doing better than we thought, but that makes April even more disappointing. The bright spots are that average hourly pay was up a penny, and the average work week remained unchanged at 34 and a half hours. Manufacturing workers are at more than full time, with an average of 3.4 hours of overtime per week. The sector also added jobs, indicating there is a recovery going on in manufacturing. The new jobs in this area appear auto industry related, and Chrysler has announced it will forego its usual summer shutdown at many of its plants. This will be a significant boost for many areas that have parts suppliers as well as assembly plants. The first quarter gross domestic product numbers are out, and while conservatives trumpeted that growth was down from 3% in the fourth quarter to only 2.2% now, they didn't mention that they're to blame. Now, these numbers are subject to revision and may turn out to be closer to 3%, blah, blah, blah. The positive growth in GDP came from increased personal consumption, exports, growing inventory. The exports is gasoline. Yeah, we're a gasoline exporter. You didn't know that? Yeah, we are. Growing inventory and residential investment. You know, putting a new bathroom in your house. The GDP increase was drawn down by reduced federal government spending, reduced non-residential investments, as well as cuts in state and local government spending. Increased imports were also counted as a negative. Ironically, as the economy picks up, Walmart imports more crap, thus driving the GDP down. Well, of course. I mean, Walmart is capitalist. They don't give a goddamn. Woo! Anyway, Prairie Tuesday says, in short, the economy is growing at a respectable rate despite the Republican efforts to impose austerity in the states they control. The growth is almost exclusively in the blue states.
Yep.
If we didn't have the conservatives dragging the economy down, we would be growing a sustained rate and not seen since before Reagan. If you think I'm painting a rosy picture, I'm not. In fact, we are in deep trouble. America has great potential. We've had fantastic productivity gains in the last 30 years, but almost all of the wealth produced by the gains has gone to the fraction of 1% at the top. These super rich aren't shy about using this massive wealth to get their way. The debate over whether the crackdown on Occupy protesters comes from Washington or is just local is moot. The billionaires control government at all levels to some degree, and they can exert crippling pressure on anyone who opposes them. With decades of propaganda behind them, many officials even think they are doing the right thing. They don't remember what it was like
before Reagan.
Then there are the banks. They're in every bit as bad shape as they were 4 years ago, if not worse. The Dodd-Frank Act was supposed to deal with this problem, but again, the Republicans are withholding funding and using their influence to keep regulators from doing anything meaningful. Austerity imposed by bankers and the IMF in Europe is dragging that continent into a Great Depression. Spain, the fourth largest economy there, is now at 20% unemployment and going into free fall. Germany continues to do well since they're at the top of the food chain, as are the democratic socialist countries that stayed out of the Eurozone. Iceland, that was the first country to collapse under the weight of the crooked bankers, has simply flipped them all off. And they are recovering nicely. Ireland, that bailed out the bankers, had been touted as a success, but the actual numbers show Ireland is on the edge of a cliff again. There is some movement politically in Europe to crack down on the bankers, since they have the example of countries nearby to learn from. Americans have had it drilled into them for decades to not pay attention to Europe, and we will need to learn on our own before it's too late. Bruce at prairie2.com. Learn on our own. Yeah, you know, we've seen it in our lifetime. One political party in the United States has become totally, completely owned outright by the billionaires, by the capitalists. And that's the Republican Party. And that's, you know, that's the main reason the Republicans don't do business with the Democrats. They don't give a goddamn. They don't have to. They don't care. Their interest is not the United States. The interest is not the well-being of the citizens of this country. That's not what they're about. They couldn't care less than they do already. Republicans are there to make sure that the wealthy stay wealthy or get wealthier, and to destroy any attempt, every attempt, to try to spread the wealth a little bit.
America, one flying monkey at a time. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Clark Morgan and his message, The Mike Malloy Show. There's nothing else like it on the radio. Thank you, Mike and Kathy. Kind words. Thank you, Clark Morgan. Thanks for the sponsorship. We appreciate it very much. Have you heard about this? This comes from the Guardian of the UK. This comes under the heading, what on earth are they thinking about? There's a right-wing neo-fascist organization called the Heartland Institute. Isn't that sweet? The Heartland Institute. It's based in Chicago. It's a right-wing think tank. And mainly what they do, they're funded, I think they're funded by the Koch brothers. They're funded by some of these right-wing half-wits. And their main objective is to undermine the science of global climate change. Well, they can't undermine the science, but to undermine the, to make sure that people don't get the science and get it right, to continue to tell people it's all a hoax. That's what the Heartland Institute, oh goddamn, does that, I mean, it's just, the Heartland Institute. Oh mom, hi dad, hi grandpa, let's go pick some corn. Jesus, can I pet the kitties? Look, there's a beautiful sunset. The Heartland Institute. Anyway, they have launched the weirdest damn poster campaign in its own press release. This is what they say, quote, billboards in Chicago, paid for by the Heartland Institute, point out that some of the world's most notorious criminals say they, quote, still believe in global warming, end quote, and ask viewers if they do too. Our billboard series features Ted Kaczynski, the infamous Unabomber, Charles Manson, a mass murderer, and Fidel Castro, a tyrant. Other global warming alarmists who may appear on future billboards include Osama bin Laden and James J. Lee, who took hostages inside the headquarters of the Discovery Channel in 2010. These rogues and villains were chosen because they made public statements about how man-made global warming is a crisis and how mankind must take immediate and drastic action to stop it. Why did Heartland choose to feature these people on its billboards? Well, because what these murderers and madmen have said differs very little from what spokespersons for the United Nations, journalists for the mainstream media, and liberal politicians say about global warming. The point is that believing in global warming is not mainstream, it's not smart, it's not sophisticated. In fact, it is just the opposite of those things. Still believing in man-made global warming, after all the scientific discoveries and revelations that point against this theory, is more than a little nutty. In fact, some really crazy people use it to justify immoral and frightening behavior. Jesus Christ. Now, then comes this bit. Of course, not all global warming alarmists are murderers or tyrants. And then they add, the people who still believe in man-made global warming are mostly on the radical fringe of society. This is why the most prominent advocates of global warming aren't scientists. They are murderers, tyrants, and madmen. Good God. Now, as a result of the embarrassment caused by the release earlier this year of its internal funding documents, General Motors pulled the plug on its funding for Heartland. Yeah, they work, gave money. Now, the question is, well, Microsoft has their hand in every filthy fascist organization in the country. Have you noticed that? ALEC, this one, God knows what else. So the question now, will Microsoft, Pfizer, or GlaxoSmithKline also now choose to cut their funding to this organization? I don't know. The Heartland Institute. So if you live in Chicago, and probably soon on an expressway near you, because remember, these cockroaches have all the money they need. They can do anything, and they will. Anything to destroy the country as quickly as possible. Now, if these were people trying to destroy the country from outside the country, we would try to kill them. Wouldn't we? Every country does that to an invader. They try to kill the invader. And there's no compunction about doing so. It is honorable. If you are being invaded by a murderous form of oppression, suppression, whatever you want to call it, if you're being invaded by killers who want to destroy your country, what do you do? Well, if you're a Republican, you piss your pants and then you run and hide. But if you're a normal American, you fight like hell. You kill them. You take them prisoner. You do bad things to them. But, sadly, these are not invaders. These, believe it or not, are Americans. Wow. What to do? What to do? Think of this. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. Thanks for sticking around. This hour is sponsored by Rick H. from Riverside, California. Thank you, Rick. His message, remember the massacre at Kent State University in 1970, and to those who protested the Vietnam War and Nixon's expansion of it into Laos. Governor Rhodes, Ohio Governor Rhodes, and President Nixon, who are to blame for sending graduates off to war. Thank you, Rick, from Riverside, California. Yeah, it is a 42-year anniversary. Good Lord. Got an email from Joe in Portland, Oregon. He asked me to mention this. In Portland, Joe writes, our mayor wants to install police cameras in our downtown area. We're going to fight against this because they don't work. They interfere with any kind of privacy and cost a lot of money to maintain and operate. You have lots of people who listen to you here in Portland, and maybe you could mention that next week during a council meeting, there will be a vote on this issue. For more information, go to portland.indymedia.org. There's more to the URL, but just start there. Portland.indy, portland.indymedia.org, and check out the police camera thing. he said the council will vote next Wednesday about 9:30, and we could use all the help we can get. And from Lone Vet, writing... Where did I get this? During the council meeting concerning the installation of cameras in downtown areas, Mayor Adams, this is the council meeting last night, or Wednesday night. There's going to be another council meeting, okay? During the council meeting last night, or Wednesday night, concerning the installation of cameras in downtown areas, Mayor Adams made some disturbing statements about the value or effectiveness of this technology. Attached, you will find a major study compiled by the National ACLU. Please read the study. This is goes out to people that read this particular website. And you'll understand why many of us do not want this to go forward. We have no illusions about this project going forward. We may need a new city council, one who will work with the ACLU, Copwatch, the ministers, and other activists who want this city to soar. It is most frustrating to listen to Mayor Adams use reality TV programs like The Dumbest Criminals, whatever that is, to make his point. So, if you live in Portland and you want to voice your opinion on this next Wednesday at City Council Chambers at 9:30, does that mean morning or night? Doesn't say. Morning or night. Damn. Come on, folks. It just says 9:30. Next Wednesday, 9:30. I guess it would be morning. City councils don't work at 9:30 at night, do they? Huh? Okay, in Portland, do that. If you don't want cameras watching you when you pick your nose. Now, what about this? City of Charlotte, North Carolina, as you know, they're going to host the in September the Democratic National Convention, and the city has announced already all kinds of restrictions on protests planned for a May 9th, that's next week, Bank of America shareholders meeting, citing safety concerns. The restrictions are prompting fears that constitutionally protected civil liberties may be suppressed and that the preemptive bans for demonstrations could serve as a preview for the city's tactics when it hosts the Democratic National Convention. The city manager said Monday that citizens would be banned from carrying a host of commonplace items, including bicycle helmets, padlocks with and permanent markers, along with weapons, mace, pepper spray, and pipe. The rules also ban any animals that are not part of an official parade or working as service animals during the protest. Since violation of the ban within a designated protest area would be considered grounds for arrest, local citizens could be jailed for simply walking their dogs on May 9. Now contrast this with the crazy people in Florida who said, yeah, bring your guns! Jesus, to the Republican National Convention. Anyway, this is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and this is coming up like, what's the date today? What's today? The 4th. So May 9th, what is that, Wednesday? Yeah, that's when this Bank of America shareholders meeting. Boy, are they sons of bitches, huh? Bank of America? With their repossessions and their scummy loans. They are just absolute capitalist vermin, aren't they? Just awful, awful, awful organization. But I digress. Anyone carrying a backpack or a briefcase with the intent to hide any prohibited items next Wednesday can also be searched or arrested. And anyone wearing a scarf with the intent to hide identity can be arrested. Jesus. Katie Parker, legal director of the ACLU of North Carolina, said, quote, how does law enforcement know that you're carrying a backpack with the intent to conceal weapons? Jesus. It doesn't seem like it's possible for police to divine that intent. And she added, that's our concern, because then you have unfettered discretion on the part of law enforcement, and that's unconstitutional. So, in Charlotte, next Wednesday, I have a feeling that there's going to be some action of some sort. Just don't walk your dog. Don't wear a scarf. Don't carry a backpack or a briefcase. And for God's sake, no bicycle helmet. Don't have a padlock with you. No padlocks. No permanent markers. They got to be, what are those called, Kathy? The erase, dry erase. Yeah, you can carry a dry erase, I guess. No permanent marker. No weapons, no mace, no pepper spray, and no pipe? No pipe? Okay. What about rope? Doesn't say anything about hand grenades. Well, wait a minute. Yes, it does. It says weapon. Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina is such a pretty state, too. Oh, well. From Crooks and Liars, the U.S. Marshals Service announced this past Tuesday that it had captured one of America's most wanted fugitives. He's accused of creating a fake charity for Navy veterans that funneled some of the $100 million collected to Republican candidates. Between the early 2000s and 2010, a man using the alias Bobby Thompson collected millions from unsuspecting donors for the charity. It was called the U.S. Navy Veterans Association, which claimed to provide support for members of the U.S. Armed Forces. Officials now believe that very little, if any, of the money was ever used for that purpose, according to the U.S. Marshals Service. To help legitimize his charity, Thompson allegedly donated part of the ill-gotten funds to Republican candidates like former President George Bush, former Republican candidate John McCain, and House Speaker John Boehner. We'll be right back.
Cuddle up, truth seekers. Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. After the next break, we'll be doing podcast trivia. So if you want to get online now and take a shot at this, so to speak, phone number here is 877-996-2556. If you get the correct answer, of course, you win a 1-year gift subscription to Malloy Program podcast downloads, commercial free. Delivered to your electronic device every morning. 877-996-2556 if you want to give it a shot. This $100 million veteran charity scam. How about this, huh? And some of the money went to former Prez and crime syndicate head George Bush, former presidential candidate and really crazy man John McCain, and a wine drunk House Speaker John Boehner. The Virginia Attorney General, who's a Republican, Ken Cuccinelli, reportedly personally pleaded with this Thompson for donations and received $55,000 for his effort. That made the scam artist Cuccinelli's second largest donor. Cuccinelli was eventually forced to turn over the tainted money to veteran support groups. Really? Oh, I bet that hurt. Over the years, it says here, Crooks and Liars has this. Thompson also attended the 2008 Republican National Convention and numerous fundraisers. The Roanoke Times in Virginia obtained photos of Thompson posing with Bush, Boehner, and McCain, as well as Representative Adam Putnam, Republican of Florida. Karl Rove and former Republican New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Thompson fled in 2010 after learning of a criminal investigation in several states. He has been charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution, identity theft, fraud, and money laundering. A team of deputy U.S. marshals captured this piece of human waste in Portland, Oregon, 10:30 this past Monday night. Thompson is now being held in the Multnomah County Jail while he awaits to be extradited to Northern Ohio. So how about that? You know, here's a guy who collected millions from unsuspecting donors, as much as $100 million for a phony charity, U.S. Navy Veterans Association, USNVA. Good God. I think it's very simple what to do with this guy. I really do. Just waterboard him and tell him that the water torture will continue until he names every single person he gave money to. And, you better remember. If you don't remember, you may drown, because you will be in a controlled drowning situation. And if you don't get your answer out pretty quick, you will suck in a whole lot of water into your lungs. And then you know what happens? You join Andy Breitbart. So they caught the bastard. The other thing they could do to him is just turn him over to, five or six wounded Navy veterans who maybe just had their houses repossessed, foreclosed on, or who wound up on drugs and alcohol because they couldn't get proper help from the Bush crime family government. Just take this guy and put him in a room and bring in, six or seven Marines. They're Navy, right? Sort of. Or just Navy vets. Maybe some with PTSD who are struggling to make a life and who probably could have used a little bit of $100 million since, after all, it was collected in their names. And then just close the door and put your earplugs in, and 15, 20 minutes later, go back in and take this bastard's body out. Wouldn't that be simple? Oh, I wish I could be like Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, I wish I could be like Gandhi. Oh, I wish I could be like Jesus. No, not the divinity part. Just to love your filthy, scummy, putrid neighbor as yourself thing. You know, love your enemies. I'm sorry. I just can't seem to get there. All right. When we come back, we will do podcast trivia. And you know, Earth Day just passed last Sunday, right? So I have a message for you from the Dalai Lama. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yeah, in the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, my emotion, you're becoming
again for podcast trivia here on the Lloyd Program. All you have to do is get the right answer to our multiple choice question, and you win a 1-year subscription to Molloy Program podcast downloads, commercial free, delivered to your anything you want. We'll deliver it to your damn wristwatch every morning. Retail value of $56.90, $56.40. A retail value of $56.40. You can't go wrong. All right, who do we have here? Tim in Rochester, Minnesota. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Mike. It's Kim.
Okay. With a K. Kim with a K. Thank you, Kim. Kathy typed in Tim. Oh, well.
That's easy to do.
Kim will do. Are you ready to play the game?
I think so.
All right. What I'll do is give you the question. Multiple choice answer. You get the right one, you win.
All right.
Here we go. The leader of a homophobic anti-gay group, that would be Tony Perkins, head of the wildly misnamed Family Research Council, said that the scandal involving Secret Service agents and female prostitutes in Colombia was actually the fault of A, open homosexuality in our military, B, another Andrew Breitbart operation live from hell, C, Sean Hannity wandering off the Bunny Ranch in Nevada, or D, another clue that the rapture is near.
They are getting tougher.
Let me give them to you again. He said that the scandal involving Secret Service agents and female prostitutes in Colombia was actually the fault of A, open homosexuality in our military, B, another Andrew Breitbart operation, C, Sean Hannity wandering off the Bunny Ranch in Nevada, or D, another clue that the rapture is near.
I'll have to say A.
You have to say that?
No, D.
No, wait, which one?
A.
A, you win, yes! Another clue that the... Well, you know, it sounds like something that Tony Perkins would say, another clue that the rapture is near, but you're right. It is A. Now, how he arrived at that conclusion, I have no idea. You know, there was no homosexual sex involved. It was all heterosexual sex. And how he can blame that on open homosexuality in the military when this was Secret Service... This guy is crazy, but that's
they all
right.
are.
They are indeed. All right, Tim, congratulations. Hold on.
And thank you, Mike.
Kathy will get the pertinent information. Thanks for playing, Tim, and congratulations for winning. Yeah, how can open homosexuality in our military cause a bunch of Secret Service agents in Colombia to invite working women up to the motel room or the hotel room for a little fun and frivolity? Somehow, in Tony Perkins' warped, degenerate, fevered brain, that's it. And you know, these recent studies, empirical studies, indicate that Tony Perkins is just as gay as he can possibly be. But he has to fight it, suppress it, demonize it, make it look like something ugly, because he actually believes it is all of that, even though he happens to feel these urges for a man, some of that man love, right, Tony? That's pretty scary, isn't it, dude? Huh? Ooh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness sakes. Does he know about Alexander the Great? Does he know about Alexander Hamilton? Does he? Oh, my God. Tony Perkins. Well, Tony, you ought to just relax. You really should. You don't have to. You don't have to get so crazy about something that you are probably feeling. It's not the end of the world, and Jesus never said anything about it. So you're home free. Don't worry about it. Earth Day. Oh, by the way, this hour, once again, is being sponsored by Rick H. from Riverside, California. His message, remember the massacre at Kent State in 1970, and to those who protested the Vietnam War and Nixon's expansion of it into Laos, Governor Rhodes and President Nixon are to blame for sending graduates off to war. From the Dalai Lama. As we commemorate another Earth Day, isn't this a time for people who intuitively experience our spiritual commons essence and nature to become politically engaged? We live in an age of mental malaise. The Hindus call it Kali Yuga. Our precious planet is polluted by human ignorance and greed. The more that money rules the world, the more that money ruins the world. We have degenerated into an insane society, unconsciously committing mass suicide by ecocide. Unrestrained corporate capitalism coercively and insidiously exploits vulnerable people and myopically plunders, depletes, and corrupts finite planetary resources which sustain life. Billions of people suffer needless poverty, starvation, and avoidable disease, while obscenely privileged corporate, political, and religious plutocrats greedily acquire power and excessive material wealth far beyond their conceivable needs. Life as we know it is threatened by environmental catastrophe or nuclear annihilation, possibly precipitated by corrupt world leaders. People are so crazy that they are myopically scuttling spaceship Earth, destroying the life support systems which sustain us. Even in so-called advanced countries, it is virtually impossible now to breathe air or drink water which is not in some way polluted by our species. Agricultural soils have been depleted and corrupted. Global weather patterns and hydrologic systems have been materially disrupted by human activities. Protective atmospheric ozone is being depleted. Glaciers are melting. Long frozen Arctic tundra is thawing. Though non-polluting alternative technologies are available and feasible, they are considered economically impractical. No one is protected by so-called bioengineering living organisms. We are even tampering and blindly experimenting with our genetic origins. From birth, every person's body, mind, is polluted by numerous and ubiquitous man-made chemical and radioactive materials, many of which are carcinogenic. Many species are rapidly becoming extinct. Around the world, thousands of birds are suddenly falling dead out of the sky, and countless dead fish are appearing on shores of rivers, lakes, and oceans. Honeybee colonies, crucial to pollination of food crops, are disappearing. Nearly a third of all honeybee colonies in the U.S. have vanished. The oceans are polluted with our detritus, and much marine life is threatened. Even remote Arctic polar bears are becoming hermaphroditic because of phthalates and other chemicals dispersed by humankind. And they are threatened with destruction of the ecosystem on which they depend for survival. So, how should spiritually conscious people live and be in this crazy world in which spiritual values seem forgotten? Do we not see omens, portents, and signs of impending catastrophe? As we widen our circle of compassion to embrace the whole of nature and all living creatures, does it become our moral responsibility to help solve imminent ecological crises? If so, how? Should we become actively engaged? If so, how? Can we, with heartfelt common intention and spiritual vision, co-create salutary solutions to the immense challenges facing us? If so, how? And then there are some quotations from the Dalai Lama. And you can find those online. Just a little message about Earth Day last Sunday. It got by my radar. Aha! Pterodactyl, as she is affectionately known, runs a website, RepublicanDirtyTricks.com, is calling in. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Mike. How's it
going? Of course, Pterodactyl is not your real name. It's Tara Dublin, right?
No. Yes.
Right.
Pterodactyl is my web. Nom de plume or whatever.
Nom de plume.
Anyway.
Yeah, you were at the May Day demonstrations in New York?
Yes. I wanted to call you that night. I wasn't listening to the show because I was down there. But It was a great experience, but there were a few things that, you know, I would like to, you know, just discuss with you.
It was, sure.
I mean, most of the cops that I had interactions with were pretty cool, you know, and except for one. I mean, I actually had an argument with one of them, and he was a white shirt, you know, of course.
Oh, but, one of the supervisors.
Yeah.
Hey, Tara, I got to do a break. I took you as we're coming up on a break. Let me do the break, and then we'll come back and chat, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're talking to Tara Dactyl from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Check out our website while we do a break here. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This hour has been sponsored by Rick H. from Riverside, California. His message, remember the massacre at Kent State in 1970 and to those who protested the Vietnam War and Nixon's expansion of it into Laos. Governor Rhodes and President Nixon who are to blame for sending graduates off to war. Thank you, Rick. We're talking to Tara Dactyl from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. And all right, in New York, so you didn't have a bad experience with the cops except for one.
Yeah, and actually, because, you know, I really believe that we have to get the cops on our side. And I know that they're brutes, and there were some arrests. But for the most part, I mean, I try to talk to them because we're not going to win, you know. We cannot fight them. We have to get them on our side. And a lot of them already are. I mean, I was holding signs. My friend Michael, I was with another friend of mine named Michael, and he, actually, you might have seen this guy, Michael. He was a Move On, had a picture that it went viral. He's holding his, if you do a Google search for Fox News, is rich people telling middle class people to blame poor people? He's holding the sign. So he has he wears this jacket, and on the back it says, "Dear NYPD, courage is preventing your fellow officers from beating unarmed civilians." So, he's got stuff. I mean, and he's very confrontational. But we, like, in a, you know, in a funny way.
Right.
And so we talk to them, and then in fact, some of the cops were taking pictures with him and taking pictures of his jacket, you know, and, but they weren't, they were, it was, we were having conversations and they were agreeing, and I was holding a sign that had, that Michael had made, and but the thing is funny because, like, all Michael signs have curses on them, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
It is like, you know, this is effing ridiculous. Like, it doesn't say, you know, it'll have a, like mine said, this is effing terrorism, you know, but the whole word, but it was, a hand in oil, from the BP oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, cops were like, "I agree with that," and we had many good conversations with them, and except for the white shirt guy, which really annoyed me. It kind of because this one we were down at the Veterans Square. That's where it left out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was there, and there was a big General Assembly,
right,
and we left a little bit before 10, and that's when they were closing the park, but I couldn't even believe it. It was like, while we were sitting in the park, and it was like people playing guitar, and they were having the General Assembly, and it was very peaceful and nice, and everybody's cool. Outside the park, it was like a swarm of police came down and surrounded. I don't know what the hell was going on in the rest of New York City, because it could have been a crime spree, because all the cops were down there in riot gear. And they had buses. We were like, where are they? What is going on? Like, they are really anticipating cracking skulls. Like, you don't go to, you know, you don't get dressed up for a party like that and not expect to use.
Sure.
You know? So, sure. Yeah, we walked out of the park. We're like, what's going on? We were, like, kidding around with them. And most of them were very nice. And then my friend asked, you know, which way the 6th train, and the white shirt cop was like, oh, it's there. Maybe it'll give you a free ride, and I was like, excuse me? And I got into it with him. I was like, we don't want a free ride. We want our middle class back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want you to keep your pension. That's not a free ride. We want everybody to have the opportunities that have been taken from us. So they, he's like, just keep moving. But it was just like that lie that Fox News is spreading. That it's like, oh, it's just, we want everything for free. That's really what it's about.
Well, that's a holdover from the 60s, too. The people who were protesting.
Right.
The indiscriminate bombing in three countries and U.S. aggression against the Vietnamese people were always told, well, you're just a dirty hippie. Why, you know, the favorite line back then was, get a job! And a bunch of the halfwits who now find the Occupy movement threatening say the same thing. And it's astonishing to me how much of a non sequitur that really is when you are talking or trying to demonstrate to people that you are there for all of our best interests, not to satisfy the elite. And you're right. I think if the average beat cop who probably does not want to be in Midtown or Lower Manhattan on a Sunday or a Monday, whenever it was, he'd rather be, or she'd rather be, either doing their standard police thing, you know, giving parking tickets, or with the family. If they are talked to, and you can overcome that cop attitude, which doesn't take a whole lot of effort when you get right down to it. And let them know that that's a good point, Tara, because they are natural allies. This battle is about their jobs, about their dignity, about what they're about. It's just difficult to do that because you run into that cop attitude sometimes that says, you know,
right.
I am the law, as you will come to know it. And that just doesn't work.
Right. And then that whole attitude of these are just a bunch of dirty hippies.
Right.
That is true. And we're not, you know.
That's so ridiculous. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. Dirty hippies. I mean, please.
Right.
That's a 40-year-old
term.
It's so boring.
Right. Can they get something new? It's the same old song.
I know.
We're dirty hippies. We're communists.
I know. All right, Tara, there's the music, honey. We got to break. Thanks for checking in.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Tara. Go to our website, republicandirtytricks.org? It doesn't make any difference. Try them both. republicandirtytricks.com. No, it's .com. Check out what Pterodactyl is all about. A fine, fine woman she is. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. This hour is being sponsored by Allison, Arkansas. At Helen Hollers. Yes, yes, yes. And she did last week, didn't she? Early part of this week, I think. Her message is the same. Due to rising temperatures, the season for shipping whipped shea mint is drawing to a close. This light, fluffy, minty wonder does not do well in hot, sweltering postal service trucks. So now's the time to get your summer supply. And by the way, Truth Seekers get a 10% discount when you order before June 1st. Try this stuff. You've heard me talk about it. Every product I've gotten from Alice at Helen Hollers has been exactly as advertised, and it's been wonderful. And it's very, 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 very affordable. So check it out. You might want to get some of her, she didn't mention this, but get some of her insect repellent, too. That stuff is amazing. Alice at Helen Hollers. Check her out. What else we got here? Phone lines are still open, 877-996-2556, if you want to join in. Larry is in Columbus, Ohio, listening on Sirius. Hi, Larry.
Hi. There's some questions for you. I had a chance to visit the Occupy movement when I was in Washington, D.C., and I had, you know, asked a few people what their purpose was, and nobody really could give me an answer. I mean, what is the end game here? What is the purpose of this, and where is it going? What's the goal?
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm absolutely serious. And by the way, I'm watching and listening to it on Sirius. What is the goal?
Okay, if you are asking me a legitimate question, I will give you a legitimate answer.
Well, it is a legitimate question, of course.
Here's the legitimate answer. The purpose, what the goal is to wake you up.
Okay, well, how?
Well, that's up to you. That's up to you.
Wake me up to what?
Wake you up.
Wake me up to what? That the moon comes up.
Wait a second. I don't play this game. I don't do this over talking thing. You called me, Larry. I didn't call you. You have come into my place of business. I have not come into yours. So when you ask me a question, you will give me the courtesy of letting me answer it. If you do not, your ass is gone. It's that simple. Now, I'll put you back on one more time. Do you want to have a discussion, or do you want to play Mr. Tough Guy? What do you want to do?
Well, you've got the microphone. Go right ahead.
No. It's not I've got the microphone. That's what right-wingers do. That's bully tactics. You ask me a question. All right, never mind. Christ, why do I try? I mean, why do I try? Why do I try? You right-wingers, I will say anything. I will talk to you until your asses fall off. But you have to show some courtesy. You are coming into my place of business. You are coming into my home. If you ask me a question, don't be a dumbass. Don't be a two-year-old. Don't only open your mouth to stick another thumb in. For God's sake, it's very simple. If you want to know, if you want an answer, I'll be happy to give it to you. But you don't want an answer. That's why I always toy with you just a little to make sure that you're still doing the right-wing nonsense thing, the right-wing child thing, the right-wing misdirected thing. But if you really wanted an answer, you'd shut your goddamn mouths and listen to people who will give you an answer. That's all anyone wants to do, is to give you right-wingers an answer to your question. And the question, what's Occupy about? Like I said, it's to wake you up, to bring you out of your coma, to make you understand how badly you are being ripped off. Not by the queers, not by the atheists, not by the commies. Castro's doing nothing to you. You are being ripped off by your own countrymen. You are being ripped off by the capitalists, of which you will never be one. Ever. I just... But no, you don't. That's why I don't understand why you people even listen to this program. There is nothing for you here because you're in a coma. If you were to wake up and get the propaganda out of your ears, if you would just get through one day without turning on the Rupert Murdoch Terror Broadcast Organization, one day without hearing Limbaugh or Beck or Hannity or Bortz or any of the rest of these swine, one day, if you could do it without injecting yourself like a junkie with this right-wing stupidity, this right-wing poison. I don't know what to say to you folks. I really don't. You don't have to switch sides. You can be as effed up as you want to be. But when you ask a question, for God's sake, shut up and listen to the answer. That's all. Man,
I just wonder how he that particular caller, this is just my personal curiosity, could have listened to Tara's conversation with you for 4 minutes about exactly what was going on and why you're doing it and still have the question, what do they want?
Well, he wasn't listening.
Because the answer is, you know, like Tara put it, as someone else had put it, we're fighting for your pension. We're fighting for your rights.
Right.
We're fighting for your grandchildren.
But, you see, why would he listen to Tara? Why would he listen to me? All he hears are those voices that go off in his head. And I don't mean he's schizophrenic. I mean the voices that are put in there by this unending stream of 24/7, 365 of right-wing neo-fascist propaganda that comes from his radio and comes from the Rupert Murdoch Terror Organization and comes probably from the websites he visits. He never gives himself a chance, ever. This is what right-wingers do. They completely lock their brains down. And, of course, you know, I believe it's because they're terrified. They're absolutely petrified. They know their ass is going to be chewed up like a lawnmower just comes over them. They know that they are just cannon fodder, so to speak. They know that they have absolutely zero worth to the 0.1% that runs everything. They know this, but they can't accept it, and they don't know how to fight it. So they form little half-assed organizations like Teabaggers. Oh, that'll work. Or they vote Republican. Yeah, how's that working out for you? Or they put on camo and run around in the woods. That's fun. Works up an appetite. They're terrified. They're scared. They don't know where to turn. So they turn to Limbaugh, who just poisons them further. They listen to Glenn Beck, who just absolutely rips their mind into a million pieces. And all they have to do is just listen. Just if you ask, if you don't want to know, then don't ask. If you're not curious, don't listen to this program. If you don't want to save your own ass, then just keep doing what you're doing. Go ahead. Remain a right winger. Remain all locked down in that fear and loathing that you have, that's been carefully stuck in there for a specific reason. But don't call me with that crap, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Now, if any right-wingers ever want to call with a question, and then just shut up. Like, hey, Mike, got a question to ask you, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer on the radio. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. But I've got no reason to expect, I guess, that a right winger could possibly open up his or her mind. I don't know. I just keep thinking. That's why we continue every once in a while to take a call. Like, okay, maybe this time. Nope, not afraid, not.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one.
answer when the army calls. I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV god watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see.
Past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Mark is in San Francisco listening online. Hey, Mark.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Are you ready for a Mitt Romney neocon war cabinet?
Oh, my God. Sure!
70% of the people that would be his advisors come from the Bush administration.
Yeah.
It's John Bolton, who wants to see a mushroom cloud over some country.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Bolton.
No, these people are insane.
They really are. I read something the other day that, you know who his legal advisor is now? Robert Bork. Remember the guy that who nominated him? Pappy Bush or was it Reagan for the Supreme Court? And while he's a very brilliant man, he is also a neo-Nazi of the highest order. His name became a verb. To get borked came to mean in the popular vernacular that you were exposed. If you get borked, you're exposed to be the duplicitous bastard that you've been trying to hide all your life. So hence the verb to bork is to do that to someone. So that's the only one I know about. If Bork is going to be Romney's legal advisor, that's about all I need to know.
Well, if you get 70% of the war cabinet of George Bush, those are the worst insane war criminals that this country's ever seen, probably in the world. And if they get back in there, that may be the worst part of the whole administration, will be their foreign policy.
I didn't know that Mormons had the potential to be as ultimately destructive as the neoconservatives. Is their religion like Christian fundamentalism have to do with the earth has to be destroyed so that Yahweh or God or whoever can make an appearance? I don't know that much about Mormonism, although I heard their whole story. I don't know if they have some of that Armageddonist crap embedded in there. Do they? Do you know?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Mike. But if you look at what he would bring in, of course he's going to bring in some of the Bush financial advisors.
Oh, good.
For his economics proposals. Also, you can see in the Ryan budget, they want to increase military spending. So they definitely have an agenda to get these warmongers are just foaming at the mouth. They want a mushroom cloud this time, because if they go to Iran, it's not going to be like Iraq. You're going to see China and Russia get in it. And these people are dangerous. And it's very scary, Mike, because to me, his foreign policy may be the most devastating part of his administration if he gets in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really scary. And the only thing that may save us is this occupied movement, Mike. It may be the only thing that stops this country from complete fascism.
Yeah.
And that's why the right wing are going crazy. In fact, I think they're really petrified about a big turnout in Tampa where all the rats and cockroaches that want to destroy the country are all going to be in one place. And I think they're fearing that the Occupy movement will be down there in droves.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll tell you, they are scared of the Occupy movement because people are coming for justice, Mike, because we certainly didn't get it from Barack's administration. People thought they could vote in the Democrats and they were going to change things, but we're getting trampled on worse. So, you know, mm-hmm. we really need to come out and fight this fascist agenda. Hopefully this Occupy movement will just get stronger and stronger because it's the only thing in the way from this country becoming just totally fascist.
I hear you loud and clear. Mark, thank you. I appreciate every time you call in. Thanks a lot, Mark. Take care. You know, the other thing about getting ridiculous with Iran, one of the largest populations in Southern California, largest ethnic or national populations, is Iranian American population. And, you know, okay, so perhaps these are people who were more supportive of the Shah and not so supportive of democratic ideas and principles in Iran. I don't know, but I do know that probably a lot of those people have relatives, nieces and nephews and grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts in Iran. And how would they feel? I mean, not that we ever care about that, but how would they feel knowing that the United States was bombing the hell out of their country?
They stand for piety that doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand the Republicans.
You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Alice at Heel and Hollers down there in Arkansas. Indeed, Alice's message, due to rising temperatures, the season for shipping whipped shea mint is drawing to a close. The light, fluffy, minty wonder does not do well in hot, sweltering postal service trucks, so now's the time to get your summer supply. And by the way, Truth Seekers get a 10% discount when you order before June 1st. Now, you can get there very quickly. Just go to MikeMalloy.com, and you'll find Alice's banner ad there. Click on it, and zing, you're right there. The what she's talking about, if you don't know, Whip Shea Mint is a body lotion, a hand lotion, a cream. You just put it wherever you want to put it. But it is wonderful stuff. Everything that Alice has is pretty amazing. So if you haven't been to her website, I know a lot of you have, but if you haven't been to her website, you ought to go and buy some stuff because it's very, very, very affordable. And there's no jive here. I mean, this stuff is really incredible. Of course, I think that's true with all the products that advertise on this program, but Alice's are exactly as she says they are. Check them out. All right, where are we? Stephen is in Burbank, listening on Sirius. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Mike. Mostly when right-wingers call in, they usually have a meme that runs along the lines of, like, personal responsibility. And this ties directly into a story that I had to tell about the May 1st gathering at Pershing Square. I'd show up, and I have this abscess on the side of my cheek from way bad teeth, you know, and root canals and all that weird stuff. And I'm walking around, look at my face. I look just like John McCain. And Cheryl and Sanchez were there, and they say, we're taking you to the emergency room. No, I'm going to do about. And I couldn't go myself because I didn't have the knowledge how to get there. I didn't have the means. I didn't have, you know, and procrastinate and put it off. They may have saved my life. Here's what happened. They took responsibility for me.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't thinking about themselves. They took time out of their lives. They put forth effort to help me. And that's the answer to that right-wing clown that wants to know what the end game is. This right-wing guy ought to find out about people like Doctors Without Borders. You know, might be a good one, or Amnesty International.
I hear you, and that makes perfect sense, Stephen. But to right-wingers, helping somebody else is a fool's errand. You're not supposed to do that. They've got their own bootstraps. If somebody is suffering, well, it's because God wants them to suffer, because they will become noble from their suffering. I hear what you're saying, but you're using logic and reason and compassion, and right-wingers do not have that. They're incapable of experiencing that. So if you tried to tell them about Doctors Without Borders, they would say, what, you mean they go around and do that stuff for nothing? God, that doesn't make any sense. You know, they ought to stay where they are and, you know, make some money. It's just impossible. It doesn't compute.
And one of their favorite things to say is entitlements. They just cannot stand entitlements. What they fail to realize, Mike, is this. Capitalism is the entitlement program for the psychopaths at the top of the pyramid.
It is.
And that's what they're going to have to begin to understand.
Well, you know, I've said this before. I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're saying. But, you know, I spent the better part of a 27-year-long career in this crazy radio business trying to make any kind of headway at all with somebody. First, it started out just regular Republicans. And then they became conservative Republicans. And then they became conservatives. And then they became conservative right-wingers. And then they became right-wingers. And now they're someplace in Crazyville. And what I discovered on that long, sickening journey is that you cannot reach them. There have been instances. I've gotten emails from people, two or three, not many, people who say, you know, I used to be in that right wing thing. I finally pulled myself out. It sounds like a letter from somebody who was had an addiction problem and finally defeated it. That's what these letters sound like that come from right wing, the political right or the religious right, when they finally free themselves. And every time I've gotten one of those letters, and like I said, it hadn't been many, maybe four. Max, but every single one has the same expression of freedom. You know, when I finally got free of that stuff, I felt like 100-pound weight had been taken on my shoulders. Now, that's the same thing you hear from addicts, exactly the same thing when they break their addiction. So as long as they're dealing with the drug of this right-wing neo-fascism, they're never free, and they can't understand the very things that you're talking about, the very things that would open their eyes. But you know that saying, they're none so blind as those who will not see.
Yeah, you can't reason with a sick mind.
No, you cannot. And it's a damn shame because, you know, I think probably half of people who consider themselves conservative or right wing, whatever their nomenclature is these days, I have no idea. But I think at least half of these people on the right, if they ever, you know, like I said earlier, turn off Fox for a day, stop listening to right wing talk radio, and just for the hell of it, check out some factual, true information about what's going on this planet, not just with them, but with their neighbors, with their town, their city, their state, the whole damn planet. And I think that would probably half of them, it might open up their eyes. And then if they could find a lefty, somebody like Tom Hartman, who's not really a lefty, but I mean, you know, he's a progressive. Hartman has the patience that I wish I have. I wish I had, and I don't. But you know, if they would open themselves up, and I know a lot of hard left people don't like Hartman, you know, they blah, blah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a decent guy. He's a good guy, and he will take time with these people. And whereas I won't do it. You know, Hartman will take time and try until they finally drive him crazy, and then he'll just get rid of them. But listen to Hartman. Read a couple of his books. There are all kinds of books to read out there.
We do.
And that might free them. But I swear to God, Stephen, the thread that runs through every one of these conversion emails I get, the thread is, I feel so light, so free of that right-wing destructiveness. And I just wish more of these people would give it a try.
That would be nice, dear. You can swear to God all you want. I would rather swear to Aphrodite.
Okay.
Nice lady.
Hey, Sanchez is on the other line, so I better let you go and talk to him, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Stephen.
Bye, bye.
Take care. Aye, aye, aye. Hey, Sanchez.
Stephen, make your appointment. That's all I got to say, man.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and I would do it for any of my friends. So.
Well, you can't mess around with abscessed teeth. It can kill you, literally. It'll send that bacteria right down to your heart valves, and you die.
Exactly.
And those bacteria eat heart valves the way you and I eat pretzels.
Yeah. So anyway, quickly jumping back to Larry, because that's what I call it about. It's starting. People like this are starting to get me crankier than Edward Asner.
Yeah.
Remember Lou Grant? Remember?
Yeah, I know.
Because this is not a simplistic answer with all of the things. Just even the things that you covered on tonight's program, including the top five in your trivia contest. All of these things have such destructive power on the people who are asleep at this point, like obviously the right-wing when people are. Mm-hmm. And as you just said, when people start sending you these emails, when they can break free of the corporation, this monster that has them all enthralled in capitalism or neo-fascism, once they wake up, they realize that, yes, they can have this power. They too can be empowered. Geez, what are the demands? Ending capital punishment, ending wealth inequality, ending police intimidation, ending corporate censorship, ending the modern gilded age, ending political corruption. How about ending wars?
Mm-hmm.
Any of those things are a decent and honorable thing to discuss. But you have to sit, and again, well, I have a goatee, kind of like Tom Hartman. I just don't have the patience like him either. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, that's what you have to do at this point. But a multitude of things. This is not a simplistic answer to give to simplistic right-wingers. You have to sit down, man. You have to wake up.
Well,
have a little patience and listen to people, for God's sake.
Aphrodite. I hear a lot of these right-wingers talk about the left being programmed to believe in global warming, being programmed to believe that gay folk and not gay folk are exactly the same. When in fact, the programming, and this is, you know, this is what drives me crazy sometimes. I just want to scream, and you can't reach people when you're screaming, and I understand that, but I want to scream at them, don't you understand that you are the one who's been programmed to reject anything that doesn't fit into this garbage that they pumped into your head? Hold on a second. I got to do a break here. We'll come right back. Before the hour, this hour is being sponsored by Alice at Heal and Hollers. Her message, due to rising temperatures, the season for shipping whipped shea mint is drawing to a close. That light, fluffy, minty wonder does not do well in hot, sweltering postal service trucks. So now's the time to get your summer supply. And True Seekers get a 10% discount when you order before June 1st. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you haven't tried this stuff, you need to do it. All right, we're talking with Sanchez in L.A. All right, go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to continue this thought that Larry was asking about. What is this Occupy movement all about? And I should have first said that, or identified that I am a part of Occupy Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm coming off it, or attempting to do the outreach to you. Larry is seriously, I mean, I've calmed myself down here, but it's not an easy answer to give you, because there is so many things that are wrong. And the first thing you have to do is wake up, man, and accept the fact that we have all of these things. You could put them all up on a dartboard. For example, ending health profiteering. Why is it that Stephen from Burbank, I don't want to get too personal about his situation, but I mean, you know, there's an abscess tooth. They could have killed the man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because of health profiteering, he doesn't have insurance. So,
well, the thing too, with the guy who the right winger that you're referring to, the day will probably come when he's going to find, if not right now, he doesn't have health insurance. He may be facing some kind of a health crisis. He doesn't understand that the Affordable Care Act, as weak as it is a hell of a lot better than the systemic weakness in our healthcare system before the Affordable Care Act. It's still weak, but it's a lot better for people who are desperately now. It doesn't kick in for another year and a half,
mm-hmm.
but the guy who called in is going to find himself at some point in a situation that he can't get out of, and nobody will help him because everybody else, everyone he knows, is the same kind of selfish, greedy right winger. Who would just as soon, you know, kick Larry to the curb, step over his corpse, and get on with ripping somebody else off. And he doesn't get that.
No.
So,
no.
I don't know. All right, Sanchez, let me move on. Thanks for checking in, okay?
Okay, have a good night.
All right, man, take care. Again, I spent a lot of time thinking that if I just find the right words over the course of a quarter century of doing this, people wake up to what's going on. This is in the early Reagan, first Reagan administration when I started in this business. And no, that just doesn't work. And I don't quite get it. I have had my mind changed about a lot of things just by listening to people have a different point of view. Now, I'm not talking politics here because, you know, my political evolution wasn't based on what I heard on talk radio. My political evolution was not based on what I saw on the Rupert Murdoch Terror broadcast network. And my political maturation did not come about because of some freak son of a bitch like Glenn Beck. You know, it came about by just living my life. And looking and being a parent and being a friend and just noticing what was going on in the world, what passes for justice, what passes for injustice, noticing how people are ground down by a system, capitalism, that is just goddamn brutally merciless. But my particular evolution didn't come about because I listened to some ass on the radio, or some freak on the internet or television. Dear God, I mean, come on. And the truth is that so many of these right wingers have never given themselves a chance. I don't know. They're like baby birds out in the wild, where a mother bird will go kill something and eat it and swallow it and digest it and then go back to the nest and puke it into the baby bird's mouth. That's what these right wingers are like. They're like baby birds that just get this stuff puked into their mouths. And I mean, dear God, at some point, when the mother bird kicks their asses out of the nest, all of a sudden they go, whoa, why? You mean I have to learn to fly? Ah! And a lot of them don't make it. So, you know, Sanchez or Steve and anybody who would like to sit down and have a conversation with some of these right-wingers. Okay, I mean, sure. But that's evangelizing, and it just doesn't work. I mean, you're talking to an addict, and you're saying to the addict, look, you got to step out of your addiction. Come on. That's not how that works. Someone who is an addict, it takes years, it really does, of development, self-development, and just tearing down the crap that made the person the addict to begin with, and restructuring away from the addiction. And I have met very few right-wingers who are able to do that. Like I said, maybe in the entire course of my radio history, not that I'm have direct access to people who go through conversions, but I've had like maybe four people, maybe five who have actually said something about, you know, they went through a change. So I don't know. Ah, there's the music. Listen, have a great weekend, okay? I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy.